In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our King, dearly redeemed children of God. One of the most distressing things about religion in America today is how we have such a fancy way of making everything so complicated. God gives us one good book. We call it the Holy Bible. And on average, Americans have several in their homes. No laws against reading it. Every incentive to spread it. And yet with more leisure time than any other culture before us, few of us have ever read it from one cover to the next. We have so many other things that we're busy with. And so if someone comes along and says there might be other holy scriptures, many Christians don't even know what to say. They've never read their own, much less compared them with what other people's so-called holy scriptures say and don't say. God gives us one Christ, one King, the very Son of God. And yet we want to complicate it. So much so that in America, if anyone puts themselves forward as a pastor, a priest, or some guru, we'll pay the big bucks through our own national public radio or public television to sit and listen to what is basically warmed over Hinduism, the New Age movement in America. Someone else to give the last word. Like these people in the very last verse who just said, "Is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee?" But what's that? Just another prophet? God has made it so simple. One book, one Christ, and basically one question. From Genesis through Revelation, 66 books, all dealing with this simple question. Who is Jesus? And since this is not just some academic exercise to just know the facts, the question again, but slightly different. Who is Jesus for you? Who is Jesus for you? We look at the question today on Palm Sunday. Put the question in Palm Sunday clothes. Who is this Hosanna maker? Who is he for you? What Matthew writes in topical fashion, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, Luke gives in chronological detail. And so in Luke's gospel, you start back in chapter 9, verse 51, and it takes him 10 chapters, Jesus, on his resolute journey to Jerusalem. John's gospel reports that the authorities were waiting for him. They were very upset. Jesus, who had preached against their hypocrisy, their self-righteousness and sin, had also raised Lazarus from the dead. Now everybody was going out to follow Jesus. And the Jewish religious authorities had a solution for that. Kill them both. Lazarus had been dead once, they could make him dead again. And Matthew reports, here comes Jesus. All four Gospels have this account of the triumphal entry of Christ the King. It's hard for us to imagine what a spectacular sight that must have been. Because crowds were streaming out of Jerusalem who heard that he was coming. And there were those who had followed him from Galilee. He comes over the rise where the Mount of Olives is with the Garden of Gethsemane. He breaks that horizon and they see him riding on a donkey's colt with the mother beside, the mother donkey. And he's riding humbly, the crowd shouting Hosanna. He comes over the rise with the Kidron Valley spread out in front of him and that glorious temple, temple to the Lord God, but corrupted by human religion and self-righteousness right there. Spectacular sight. What sounds of Hosanna. But you miss it all if you don't see the miracle. You heard it read before. Jesus told two of his disciples to go in and get that donkey. It's almost hilarious to listen to Bible scholars, critics of the Bible, try to explain all this as just a coincidence, a natural happening. You know, how does he tell the disciples to go into town and there will be a donkey there with its mother, the donkey's colt, never been ridden before? What to say? And Luke's gospel says they had to say that, and the owners were satisfied. You know, if this is so easy, I would just really love these Bible critics to just any time, any highway into the Twin Cities, to just pick a highway and tell their followers to go in a mile or so, and you'll find an SUV there pulling a trailer with an ATV on the back. Take it. And when the owners object, just tell them, we'll bring it back soon. See if it works. Who can predict this? Who can tell? Who's got that kind of authority? And the Creator. You don't believe it was the Creator on that donkey's colt? Then go find one. Donkeys are especially stubborn. Try to get on an unbroken colt. Try to do it when its mother is right there. You might find that donkey colts' mothers can be rather vicious. None of that with Jesus. He's the Creator who knows everything, like what lies ahead. He's got just the words of power to settle the nerves of the owners. The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. He'll send it back shortly. That's enough. And when he gets on the donkey's colt, he rides gently and humbly into the city. Who is this Hosanna maker? Who is he for you? Is he your coming king? He had been the coming king for God's people all the way back to the sin in the Garden of Eden when our first parents rebelled. And over the centuries, God had given more and more prophecies in greater detail, including the one from Zechariah. If you want to understand the miracle in that, try to just imagine how hard it would be for you to predict, say 2 weeks from today, where will you be driving, let's say, say 13 days from today? What street will you be on, and what will you be driving at 9:46 in the morning? Don't know. Well, neither do I. We can't predict those things in our own lives. So let's say someone comes along and tells you, you know, Thomas Jefferson, 200 years ago, President of the United States, he wrote a book. He tells you where you are on the road in 13 days, 9:46 in the morning. And you say, wait a minute. Thomas Jefferson? There was no Twin Cities then. They didn't even know about cars then. How could he predict? You can almost see the miracle if you just double the time. 400 years before Christ. Zechariah, in that great detail from chapter 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then he promises peace, not between nations at war, but between sinners at war with God. The peace of this king who would come to take away the sin and all God's wrath on himself. Who is this Hosanna maker? It's easy to say, Hosanna, he's my king, sitting in church, enjoying the fellowship of fellow believers. Easy when life is going along smoothly, no rocks in the road, gas tank is full, gas prices are coming down, you get good mileage anyway, checkbook is full, everyone's healthy, job is secure. But have something trip you up. It doesn't have to be something big. And it's right away, why me, Lord? And thy will be done that sounded so good the last time you said, our Father who art in heaven. The will of God, is it always really best? Is it always really best for me? Is he my king? Is he your coming king, this Hosanna maker? Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut their branches from the trees and spread them on the road and shouted, Hosanna. Jesus topped the rise. Can you imagine Jesus coming over the rise above your house and looking down on your home? And he stops, and the tears start flowing down from his eyes. Jesus is weeping at the sight of your home and what he sees coming for you. Luke records, Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embattlement against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Who is this Hosanna maker? Who is he to you? Do you recognize the time of the Lord's coming? Or do you think, as most church people would today, surely the Lord is not weeping over us? Oh, Jesus, we're not as bad as those Jewish people were who crucified you, are we? My fellow sinners, I have to tell you, it's far, far worse than we can imagine. The prophets speak of God's people as whores. And Ezekiel says it's worse than prostitutes getting paid for their prostitution. God's people pay others to prostitute with them. He's talking about our hearts, where we give our hearts. What is it that really has hold of our heart? What is our true love? Is it God, morning, evening, noon, and night, and showing in our love for our neighbor? Or is it in this God-blessed culture of so much a whoring after the idols of entertainment, the violence, the sexual immorality, all the sins we can see others do if not doing them ourselves, and they've got hold of our heart? Would not the Lord have to also look down upon us and warn us of what comes and have us weeping with Him over our sins? Who is this Hosanna maker? When I look at my sins, I'm grateful all the more that He is the blessed Son of David. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! 1000 B.C. God had told that faithful king, it's good that you have this in your heart to build me a house, a temple in Jerusalem, but no, your son will build a house for me. I will build a house for you. I will give you a son that will rule on your throne, King David, forever. The one promised to Abraham and in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. When they sang Hosanna to the Son of David, that millennium had passed, and the Son of David had come. They said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May God bless everything he does this coming week, Holy Week, when his enemies will gang up on him and try to discredit him before the crowds and finally get hold of him. And by the power of the Roman armies, crucify him. How could it be Hosanna in the highest? We have to praise him. This is the king who comes as God. He knows what lies ahead. He knows what's lurking in the shadows, what will soon come out in this week we call Holy Week between Palm Sunday and Easter. Any husband with a wife like that would have divorced her with a wife like us. But he doesn't. He is absolutely faithful. He keeps taking us back day by day. Any man who could see what lay ahead in such a gruesome death, such terrible suffering, would have run the other way, nowhere close to Jerusalem. But this is God. He knows it's not just the physical suffering. It's the wrath of God that would come down on Him to suffer our guilt and our iniquity, and not only ours, but everyone who lived before or since. The wrath of God on His innocent, righteous soul, that would be His suffering, and yet He pressed on. I love Him for that. I adore Him for that. I sing hosannas from my heart the more I see my sin and the more I see my Savior. And I don't want it to just be the words of my mouth. I don't want it to just be a job I do. I don't want it to just be something people expect of me. I want it to be from my heart, like a new bride for a heavenly bridegroom. Who is this hosanna maker? Who is He to you? It's easy to sing the praises today. But where will your feet take you? And your hands and your eyes and your heart? On Monday, Thursday evening, when we gather to celebrate His Holy Supper. And if you're not ready for it yet in this fellowship, what's keeping you? Good Friday? Good, because you know how it ended, and you know what that precious blood did for you. Who is this hosanna maker to you this Friday evening at 7, when in darkness we gather, gathering darkness, to see our Savior put in the tomb again and look forward to His glorious triumph next Sunday, Easter? Words come easy. Words are cheap. How does your life reflect what your lips are saying? Is He the blessed Son of David in your heart and your mind? Is He your coming King? No one else. No one ever else will deserve the praises like this hosanna maker. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. May our lips and our lives say, glory be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise.